Roll call, please, Pat.
Carlisle.
Here.
Kubish.
Here.
McClary.
Here.
Murray.
Here.
Reynolds.
Here. This is unusual. It's the first time in a long time everybody's been here.
No place else to go.
That could be. We have approval of minutes for the August 7th meeting. Anybody have any additions or corrections?
I'll move the approval, but with a question. Scott, did you see at the bottom of page one, we raised the issue of an alternate member or two, and Shannon said that that would be looked into. Not the most pressing problem you have, but we thought it made some sense.
Absolutely, and I think we do have one or two applications on file. I'll look at those if they did indicate the DBA as an interest.
Did you put it on the website?
I'll check that.
I move approval.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Next item is citizen comments on non-agenda items. Okay. Any correspondence, Scott? Pat?
No.
Okay. Moving on to new business is a roof pitch variance request for 515 Lewis Street. And before we go very far on that, the day the notice of this hearing arrived, I was talking to the realtor about that property or the building. So I would suspect I should be excused. Yes.
Right.
I was talking to Marty.
To Marty?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, I was going to say, it wasn't me, and I don't know about Mike. That's all I was going to say, so no big deal.
Anyway, in fact, we had set up an appointment to see it. So.
Oh, okay.
Well, is there any objection to me leaving?
Can you monitor the meeting and simply not vote?
Well, usually if someone needs to leave the room, just to avoid
the
perception of
any then he can't sigh and grimace and
point in other nonverbal communication.
All right.
Sorry, Bob.
It's all right. All right. We'll proceed. Are you coming back then?
Yes. All right. I'll just go set in the auditorium.
All right. All right, Scott, start us out here.
Alfred Stark owns a lot located at 515 Lewis Street. For many years, that lot had an old non-conforming trailer located on the property. I do have a picture of the old trailer if you want to look at it and pass it around. I'm sorry I didn't find that before I mailed out your packets. Basically, it was just a mobile home with an addition on one side. It was about a 16 by 50. I did that measurement based on the materials. That building would have been non-conforming due to its size and the roof pitch. There also is an accessory structure on the property that remains. Sometime during the summer, that building was removed. So now just the accessory building remains. So that lot is a non-conforming lot because it has an accessory building without a primary structure. The request is to purchase a building located at 935 Wilson Street. I did provide you a picture with that. That building is a conforming in size, but it also has a roof pitch that does not conform to the 512 requirement for the TRD district. They'd like to relocate this onto the 515 Lewis Street. They didn't provide a plot plan showing how it would be located on the property, so it's assumed that they would put it on the property in accordance with all other criteria because no other relief is being requested. It's just the roof pitch is being requested here. The applicants are here. I did provide you with some pictures of the neighborhood that they provided to me, and of course the picture of the building that they want to locate on the property.
Before we go any further, just to clarify for those of us that don't work in this realm, what is the rationale behind the 512 requirement? Is it a drainage issue or a cosmetic issue or what?
Well, this particular ordinance requirement was put in prior to me coming on board with the city, so I wasn't privy to the discussions of what the intent was at for that particular requirement. So I can only assume, and I think it would be an aesthetic thing.
Mm-hmm. Chris?
Bob, I might be able to shed a little light on it. Traditionally, in private associations, where they're private ownership and they sell out in like an association, they'll use the 512 roof pitch to keep people from putting mobiles in without necessarily zoning mobiles out.
Yeah.
And what you have here is a steel frame house, but it's not a mobile home. It's, you know, so traditionally the 512 pitch has been geared at mobile homes, just to keep that. It's a easy way to keep from having to say no mobile homes.
Yeah.
You know.
All right, Mr. Church.
Yes,
this is Mr. Church.
Mr. Church.
Yes.
You've requested the variance. Why don't you? We'll turn the floor over to you. Open a public hearing at this point and tell us what you need here.
Okay. Well, actually, it's Mr. Stark. We basically have kind of put the proposal together and asking for the variance. Basically, what we're trying to do is we're trying to improve both neighborhoods here. That being, move the residents from next to mine to Lewis Avenue. They've gotten rid of the trailer that's there, and like I said, I'd like to move the house it's very close to my residence, very, very close. From what I understood, it was when you go outside wall to outside wall, it fits within that lot, but not overhang to overhang like you're supposed to.
I think it's the same architecture and maybe even the same building material. I just went by earlier in the day.
Okay. Well, regardless, with it being as close to my house and with my work, I don't want anyone living that close to me. So, needless to say, my wife and I bought it. We've gone ahead and we then went ahead and put it up for sale.
I can give you some history on the sale. It's been on the market for roughly about 430 days. We've had a number of offers on the property, but most people get scared away at the 512 pitch, and nobody ever made application for a variance until now. Because we told Mike the same thing, you know, this is what we've been told, that it doesn't conform. Because originally, I mean, we had it sold almost a year ago to Smitty, because Smitty owns the vacant lot. You know how the Wilson Street dead ends right there with the fence? Mm-hmm. Well, Smitty owns the vacant lot, like, across the street. And so Smitty balked at it at that time. And like I said, we've had it listed, you know, we've had an expressed interest in it, but the variance or the zoning seems to be the biggest issue with it. And then, you know, Mike came along and we decided, you know what, let's go talk to the zoning board and see if we can't just get this thing taken care of, because otherwise, you know, it's just an albatross that Billy's staring out his kitchen window at, you know.
The building is not occupied now.
It
hasn't been used for any useful purpose.
No.
It was there when you and your wife bought the property?
When I originally moved there, yes. There were people living there. The guy fell on hard times. He since moved, basically abandoned the house, went into foreclosure. Then we bought it from, I can't even remember.
HUD.
Federal
Government Housing Urban Development. And you know, we paid $28,000 for it. And we've had this thing listed at $15,000 and $14,000 now for, you know, 430 days, which, you know, generates some phone calls, but then, you know, it becomes a problem trying to explain, you know, what your limitations are.
Very good. Yes, sir.
Well, I'll start, and we're going by history. I'll give you a little history, and then I'll give you some of my thoughts on the whole thing. I've owned a trailer for probably 10-12 years. Always kept the trailer safe. Actually, when my first renter that moved in there was through Section 8, you know, it was an old trailer though. My last renter that I had in there, I felt sorry for him because I would have moved this out, because actually when he died, He died about a year ago. Probably owed me $12,000-$13,000 at a total of $350 a month rent. So I would have been better off to remove it a long time ago and have my taxes a whole lot lower. So when this happened, I'm like, all right, I'm not dealing with this trailer anymore. Neighbors don't like it. I move it out. I actually had another double wide already purchased because I was going to move it over there. Then when I talked to Scott and I heard this, it just didn't make sense. So I just went ahead. I wasn't going to deal with it at the time. And then I got rid of that. And then actually Michael Dell is interested in purchasing this and putting it there. Now, some of the benefits that I see, one is one of your ordinances are the front door has to face the road. On his, it doesn't. When it gets moved two blocks away, three blocks away, Mike will turn the house around. Instead of being narrow, there is enough spot. One thing about a manufactured home, they're federally approved by the government. And I think one of that reason, the reasons behind it is they have to be built to a certain code, certain structure, to withstand whatever they need to. And every county's some counties are different about the snow load. This is the first time that I heard that a municipality actually has any type of restrictions besides square footage and how close to the lot lines. Never heard anything besides a private subdivision that has any type of architectural requirements. You're throwing a 512 pitch on it, and I mean, that's all you're getting. You're not getting nothing else. And I mean, it's, you know, like I said, it's going to improve it. It's three blocks away. And it is approved by the federal government. I mean, these homes are sold for that reason.
And I guess in that aspect, too, we're not moving it from another county and out from out in a township. We're moving it from one city lot to another city lot.
Mm-hmm. And if I could, just in that neighborhood, my wife and I came down and drove it on Sunday. And along Lewis Street, I think of the, in the low 20s and houses on that street, probably 17 of those homes are virtually like this, the same roof pitch or certainly less than a 512 pitch. So it, and as a matter of fact, the house that is just to the north of it is identical in roof pitch and design. Honestly, it would be a great improvement to the community, no offense, Mike, compared to what was on there.
I pulled it out of there.
be a great improvement to it, and it would be a fit within the community, and I would like to think that the thrust of the zoning would be to have something there that is compatible with what surrounds it, okay? As opposed to wanting to put it, you know, like right next to one of the commercial buildings downtown that certainly wouldn't fit. But in that community, that's what that community is made up of.
If you turn it 90 degrees, does it meet all the setback, side yard,
yes, it should
front yard issues?
Yeah,
yes.
The lot is 66 feet wide, to my understanding. It was a shorter lot, or a narrower lot than that, but apparently a few years ago, according to the neighbor, there was an alley that was abandoned.
No, actually, that is
and that
an
was
extension
split between?
Of the street. That
is
lot,
it?
Yeah, that was vacated and became
oh,
a lot.
Oh, okay, well, maybe I was giving
that's
some
why
missing,
it's 66 feet
but,
wide.
Okay, but it's 66 feet wide there. The house is, I believe, 48 feet long in length. So there should be more than ample on both ends, but pretty much centered in the lot.
I measured it at about 36 or so.
Yeah, it's not quite 48,
should be,
but,
yeah. Oh, yeah, there should close. Be plenty to do that, sure. And that would be the desire.
And part of the, we're not trying to rattle Ross by any stretch. We're just, I'm trying to represent my client, Mike's trying to represent his client, and we're trying to help Wayne City. I mean, you know, the two issues at hand here, and I know this isn't, and I've had a discussion with Scott, so I know the rules of the ZBA, but in the same token, you know, you got to look at an affordable housing issue. I mean, you know, the cemetery is your neighbor, for starters, and you're close to the schools. So it's a desirable renting zone, it's a desirable zone for small families, and it's not a very high-traveled street. Much like you could argue with Billy's situation, but Billy's not going to get any renters up there anyway because, I mean, literally, you open the back door and you're standing in his kitchen. And you open the front door and you're in the other guy's yard. And that guy put a 6-foot fence up. So, you know, it's an alleviation thing. And the other question that's been brought up, and again, it's probably not for here for the discussion, but, you know, like Mike had stated, you know, traditionally these rules show up in privately owned subdivisions. And so, you know, the question has been, is this a form of exclusionary zoning when you look at it and you say, well, listen, you know, if I can't put a government-approved steel frame house in here, I mean, I understand the intent. I mean, you know, if it's no moles, it's no moles. I get it. But, you know, just by a roof pitch. So you have a house that's listed for $14,000, and the cheapest quote we got to rectify the roof situation was $3,000, you know, at a minimum. So, and I'm, you know, I'm sure Mike's got other quotes on that, but we were trying to get a better quote than Mike's, to be quite honest. But so, anyhow, that's just the two things.
Will this become your principal residence, or
no,
is
I
it investment for
it
you?
As a, yes, it is an investment property. Okay. Use it as a rental.
Very
so.
Good.
Did I miss it somewhere? What's the pitch of the one you want to move over?
I believe those are three and a half inch to 12.
Yeah.
3-12?
It didn't look
three
quite 4-12.
I think it was, yeah. Yeah.
You know, which, I mean, I would have never dreamt I would have ran into this. Otherwise, I would have left the trailer there and came to you first. I mean, I bought this place for $22,000 years ago, and with the trailer on it. And I can tell you, I'm selling it for less without on it. But if I was to leave it there, I mean, what would I get anyhow? I mean, but to bring more people that will live here, spend money in the communities. I mean, we're getting hurt a lot more than East Jordan. I mean, Boynton City, and I'm from East Jordan. But, you know, I've had 515 Lewis Street for 12, 13 years. I've had 310 North Street for probably 15 or 16 years, which I improved that total since I bought it. And then I have one on 114 Division. I think that's all I have. But, I mean, I've been here doing this for years, and like I said, I was shocked by finding it out. I mean, if it's in your rules, it's in your rules. But never came across it before like that.
When Mike was, he's been trying to sell that trailer too prior to removing it for at least 4 years. I mean, you know, in the realtor world, when you have investment people, especially if it's owned by a realtor, you just put it up with the other realtors and say, hey, look, if you can bring me a buyer for this, I'll sell it. So I can't show you that it's actively been on the market, but in reality, you know, Mike's been actively trying to sell that property for at least 4 years himself. So,
very good. One last question: the garage or whatever that adjacent building is to the back. If this is all said and done, do you keep that or demolish or renovate that? In some
Based
way?
On what I saw, honestly, I probably would remove it.
Yeah,
probably would remove it.
Yeah. All right, Scott. Is it appropriate to close the public hearing if there are no other questions or
no other comments? Yes.
Public hearing is closed. 5:17, Pat. Will you walk us through the findings of fact, and then we'll get to the questions that we need to handle?
I provided you with the graph findings of some of the facts that I observed. Of course, you can add to this, subtract to it, as you deem fit. The property is owned by the applicant and office itself. The property is zoned traditional residential zoning district, TRD. It's located at 515 Lewis Street. The property dimensions are 66 by 201. And has an area of 13,266 square feet. The minimum lot in the TRD district is 50 feet with a minimum of 5,445 square feet. The property had a non-conforming dwelling and a detached accessory building on the property. The non-conforming dwelling was removed in the summer of 2012. Non-conforming structures are regulated by Boynton City Zoning Ordinance Sections 26-25, and I attached that for your reference. The property is currently non-conforming due to the fact that it is an accessory structure on the property without a primary structure. The applicant desires to relocate a single-family dwelling located at 935 Wilson Street to the property. The existing dwelling is located at 935 Wilson. Is 24 by what? I put 36.
Yeah, I think it's 36 or 40. I don't think it's quite 48.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I was up there.
Yeah, no.
So I well, I'll just put 36, but okay, plus or minus. And as the ground floor area, at least 864 square feet. The minimum width of dwelling in the TRD is 24 feet, with a minimum floor area of 672 feet square feet. The roof pitch on the existing dwelling is less than 512. The minimum roof pitch for a dwelling in the TRD is 512 as per Boynton City Zoning Ordinance Section 4.486, and I attach that for your review. Several existing dwellings located near 515 Lewis Street have roofs with less than 512 pitch.
Very good. Any questions or clarifications for Scott?
There's the TRD. What does that stand for?
Traditional Residential District.
Now, there were some notes in some of the paperwork that TRD, if it's a TRD, it should have sewer and water.
I believe he may be referring to the intent and purpose of the district, okay. And that's probably in there. That's the intent, but not all.
Because I know I have a septic up there.
Yeah. So, and
city water.
Yes.
Yeah, city water and a septic.
Yeah.
Gas provided to the property.
Yes.
All right, anything else? I guess then we can move on to the, five specific items that have to be fulfilled for the variance to be granted. Scott, you want to help us with that?
Findings of fact, non-use variances in hearing and deciding appeals for variance, the board shall adhere to the following criteria in determining whether or not practical difficulties exist. Requiring the owner to comply with the regulations governing the area setbacks, frontage, height, bulk, density, or other non-use requirements would unreasonably prevent the owner from using the property for permitted use or would render conformity with such regulations unnecessarily burdensome.
Comments from the board? Any disagreement that, in my personal opinion, this would be burdensome to the owner based on the facts as they've been presented?
Well, as a non-conforming use, in sight, I have no problem with that. But when you start moving buildings across town and all, I think it takes it out of the non-conforming. And the non-conforming situation that the zoning ordinance allows such structures to continue to exist in the zoned area. But it says once it's moved, it has to conform when it gets to where it's going to move. So the burden was there when everybody got involved with this. And they had the non-conforming allowed. Now things are being changed. And I don't see where, yes, it is a burden, but it's allowing the creation of the non-conforming use after the zoning law has.
Is your point that once it is moved to the Lewis property, it immediately becomes non-conforming, and that has to be corrected. Is that in simple language what you're driving at?
Prior to moving, right?
Pardon?
Almost maybe even prior to moving, or certainly before it's set there. Not prior to moving, no. Where it sets now, it's non-conforming but permitted because it predated the zoning law. And it's no more burdensome to me to have these zoning laws affect these pieces of property than the zoning laws are burdensome on everyone.
Other comments, Lynn?
Yes, I do have some. I have two questions to ask first. You gentlemen discussed this with our planning director, Mr. McPherson, correct?
Correct.
And then the second question is, you understand that the duties of the Zoning Board of Appeals is to interpret the ordinances and not make ordinance or change ordinance.
Well, I can't speak for the other three, but I mean, yeah, that's my understanding.
We interpret the ordinance as it is written. Okay, having said that, and you understand that, I see three issues here. One is the non-use of the building for over a year. The other one is a non-conforming roof. And the other one is, once it's moved, then it's mandatory that it be conforming. So those are three issues that are opposed to your request.
Now, one thing is, when I did talk to Scott, because I've probably talked to him a half a dozen times since June or July, the 512 pitch never came up. I didn't ask. I didn't think that there was anything. I'm thinking, you know, it was all about lot lines. Until I had it moved. I mean, it hasn't even been tore down. It's still on the wheels. I can move it back if that helps. And redo this.
This is my opinion, so I have to be careful, but the way these are written, a 3.5-12 cut, is that's what you read on the square. That's the cut. The pitch of this roof is in degrees, and it's 11.25 degrees. That's exactly what it is. Now, the problem with these roofs is that number one, snow load, number two, rain. The way they were constructed is there's no ice and water shield under the shingles. There's no extra protection around any of the roof openings. None. Just strictly a very thin, less than 15-pound felt is what's under those. And these roofs are susceptible to so much damage that owning one is not all that favorable to the guy making a mortgage payment or rent. And what happens is that, particularly here, right here in this city, with a northeast wind and rain coming in hard, because of the nature of the vent system that they have on those, their passive vent system, the rain comes right up and right down in the flat roof vents. Now, you can go down to the lumber yard and argue that one. And they're going to tell you the same thing. That's how most of the water damage occurs in these. And so I have to absolutely agree with the current ordinance, which calls for 5-12 pitch, because I have one of these 3.5-12 cut roofs. I got a 40-year certain deed shingle roof on it, architectural shingles, and it's still a bad situation.
Well, the one thing I want to say is I've been a landlord for now pushing 23, 24 years.
Mm-hmm.
I have bought 2 manufactured homes in the last year, and I just got another accepted offer on one. I'm going to disagree for the fact that you can have issues. And the ones that will knock down a manufactured home more than anybody is going to be a builder. If you take care of them, are you going to have a leak? I've had brand new houses have leaks. If you have somebody that goes in and rents, it doesn't matter what house it is. They beat it up. You know, everything, but is taking care of it. But these homes are approved by the federal government. Where are we going and saying, no, this is not good enough? You know what? If everybody, no one could have these, how many people are not going to have a home? Because who can afford $60 an hour for the guys to build your house? Sorry. That's what these were here for. We're a city. We're a county. The state. You know, that's where I'm getting an issue, is because, it's like I said, I've owned these. I'm living in one.
My point is that we're here to interpret the ordinance for the safety and the welfare of the general public. And so my opinion is that by shifting to a 5-12 cut on the roofs, we're generating a more secure welfare for the general public. They purchase a better quality home.
So Roger, that's my opinion. And then I think we need to move on and see if this is proper or not. Any comments?
Well, for Scott, I assume that the city adopted the county or state ordinances for the 5-12 so that we would be in conformity with the state. I assume that, no?
No, the city.
So the state this. May say 3-4 is okay.
Yeah. The city, on its own, incorporated the 5-12 pitch into its zoning for a number.
Pulled that number out of the blue, or?
I wasn't here when it was discussed. I can't tell you the background for why they did it. I'm assuming, you know, like Chris indicated, it may be to limit the type of manufactured homes that are put in. It may be for architectural reasons. It may be for structural reasons. You know,
they do come for snow load rating though, in this house, and in fact, in this county. It has to meet that snow load rating. Even Lynn's house has to meet a snow load rating, whether the quality's there or not, but it has to meet the snow load rating in order to be approved to be lived in.
All right, the question at hand, I think, is, as Scott has depicted, that requiring the owner to comply with all regulations, as John has spoken to well, would unreasonably prevent the owner from using the property for preventive purposes. That's what's on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that needs to be added to that question? I think we have a split here. I think we have a split. But let's determine that.
Well, I would add that since the house is already in the city, and we're just moving it from lot to lot, and there's other houses, it's not like we're going to destroy the neighborhood because there's other homes that have that pitch, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that I don't see any problem with the variance in that respect. Huh? You know, some of the other conditions, if it was going to be an oddball and it disrupted the neighborhood, then I'd definitely say no to it. But it's proved worthy of living for, 20 years, you say?
I'm not sure.
That house was in 98 or 2000.
Yeah. I pulled the permit for that. The permit for that house was in 19
years anyway. So, I wouldn't have any problem with saying that was unnecessary regulation with becoming burdensome in this case.
Well, then let's put this on the record. I think this is the time, unless you have anything else you want to add. It's all been covered. Is it proper to take a motion or simply to ask the board its findings on this particular item?
I would.
I think we could vote on this particular finding, and if it passes, then we go on. And if it doesn't, then we need to figure out some way that we can pass or
we are down.
Deny.
All right, we are down to four members. That would require three, I think, to let it go forward. Would it not, Pat?
Yes.
Lynn, how do you vote?
I have to concur with the planning director's findings and deny the opportunity.
Okay.
I just want to clarify, Lynn.
The issue that we're voting on?
Yes.
I didn't make any findings on these particular items.
I did.
I know, but you said you're concurring with mine.
Yeah.
I didn't make one. So I just want to be clear.
But your vote would be no, not to grant the variance in this particular question.
On the burdensome question.
Yes, that's all on the table.
Yeah, item one.
Oh, we're just not voting on
it.
Yeah, just on item one.
Compliance, is that burdensome?
Yeah, it's on the other page.
I thought we were voting on.
Mm-hmm. No, we're just seeing if it meets that particular criteria.
Number one.
Would unreasonably prevent the owner from using a property for a permitted purpose? That's the question.
Area, frontage, height, bulk, density, use, non-use requirements. I had my mind all made up. Now I'm going to. Well, I think it would. Can you move on and let me think about this for a moment, please?
I think we ought to settle this. Because every one of these is preclusive to moving on.
Well, I say yes, it would present an unnecessary burdensome situation.
All right.
I don't mean to be contradict myself either here.
May I?
Yes.
In the sense that any zoning regulation is burdensome, this pitch regulation is burdensome. But that doesn't make all the regulations in the zoning ordinance mm-hmm. unnecessarily burdensome. Mm-hmm. They're there. And these
and I do
properties have demonstrated non-conforming use and conforming, and the one property will remain conforming until the building is picked up and moved. And then our regulations, our zoning law says then it has to conform, and it sets it back down.
So my thinking is that it's this zoning regulation that requires a 4-2, the pitch that we're talking about, 5-12, and having to bring a non-conforming building into conformance when it's moved is not burdensome. It's my position.
That's sure, actually how, sure that's how I feel.
Somewhat, as all regulations are, but unnecessarily burdensome.
Well, I'm
it's not a digital thing where if it's a burden, then it's unnecessarily burdensome.
I wanted to try and help these guys, but...
Well, are you have voted to say that it is an unreasonable burden. Do you want to change that?
Or yes, I do. I want to change it, and I'm going to stick with my guns.
Stick with your guns.
I find that it's not...
Say that...
I find that it's not unnecessarily burdensome.
Okay. John?
Okay. Am I next?
Mm-hmm.
Nay. It is not unnecessarily burdensome. Roger.
I'm saying it is because there's already homes that are like that, and so why include the unnecessary burdensome to change the structure of the neighborhood?
I concur with Roger, so it's a 2-2 split. My thought behind it is that if you look at the entire... John is exactly right on the very strict application of the law. I know he's, I'm sure he's right. But if you looked at the overall picture, which is what I'm trying to do, I don't find major problem with this. Now that...
Sorry.
Let me just wrap this up. That then ties us at 2-2, which is not a majority in favor. Correct, Pat? Mm-hmm. Correct, Scott?
But this is more of a straw vote based on that finding. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the end... You still would need to make a motion approving or denying a variance, and so you can still move on with that.
But
noted.
That's in the knowledge, I believe, that you have to have agreed on all 5 points that you're going to ask. So. And at this point, we cannot say that. Chris,
the only thing that I was going to add, and again, I mean, I understand John's interpretation of the ordinance, but the issue at hand here becomes. You're essentially making, even though it complies by virtue of the fact that it was in place before the zoning laws changed, which apparently happened in the last 12 years, because that's a 2,000-mile home. Okay, so in 2001 they changed the year. The issue to me is that you have this non-conforming house that sits sideways on the lot. Now, I mean, we can go through the city and tell you how many non-512 pitch roofs are in the city. There's a lot of them. But how many of them are sitting sideways to the lot? There's very few. You know, so this was an opportunity for the city to interpret a correction that was going to take a series of non-conforming events and allow one non-conforming event to exist when it was done. Now, I understand, and I'm not arguing your position, but my point for my client becomes that in order for him to sell this home now, he has to sell it to someone that's going to move it outside the city, which has just added to the moving cost significantly, which is very burdensome, because that's been the biggest staple all along, is the cost to move it. So to find somebody that's willing to move it in town, where it's a much cheaper move, now they have to take, you know, in this particular case, without talking out of school, my client has around $12,000, 11.5 is the offer on the table. In order to make it conform, once the investment to move it has been put in, then he's got to put an additional minimum of 25% of that value onto the roof just to get it to conform within the city lot. So between the cost of moving it out of the city or the cost of making it conform, I feel, and I realize it's not part of this discussion, but I feel that it's unnecessarily burdensome in today's society and the way that this is set up. I think it's against the intent of affordable housing. I think it's against the intent of what we're trying to do to grow respectably as a community. No offense, and it's not personal by any stretch. I just think that maybe at some point this needs to be relooked at because... You know, we can't continue to survive on second resort homes here, folks. I mean, we need to get affordable housing in place or we are going to price our own people out of this market.
Understood. Noted.
I could touch that on my side, but I'm not. One thing is, like you guys said, this was in place before you was here. And I'm sure that there's zoning rules that have been put in place that wasn't correct, possibly not correct. I'm not saying here, but, you know, things happen. I'm trying to think, realistically, in my mind, how can a city make an ordinance that go against the federal government? You're telling me, you know, these homes that they made for people that are, you know, working at Glen, or I'm not going to say names, but they can't afford a stick-built house. They are not going to build a stick-built house on 515 Lewis Street for 20 years. So, I mean, if it doesn't happen, if it's not going to be a mobile, you know what? It's going to be a vacant lot. You know, I asked Scott if the city wanted to buy, I think it was Scott or somebody, if they wanted to buy it for the cemetery, you know. But we're going against the federal government. This has been approved by the federal government, and we have a city that's saying, no, you can't bring these homes in here. Because they still make them with a 312 pitch. Because you're probably looking at, I'm going to say, probably about a $6,000, $7,000 upgrade at the factory to raise those pitches. So.
Noted. We have a 2-2 split. I think that's recognized at this point. Let's move on to the second question. So.
Item two, the variance. Again, this is the smallest variance necessary to do substantial justice to the owner as well as the property owners.
There are no other issues on the table except the pitch of this roof.
That's it.
Yeah.
And number three kind of makes it, the variance can be granted in such a fashion that the spirit of the ordinance will be observed.
Let's be sure we have agreement on two first.
Oh, okay.
Smallest variance necessary to do substantial justice to the owner.
Agreed.
John?
I have a question as to moving. That is another issue that's on the table. It says once a building, a non-conforming building is moved, it must conform.
That's John's point.
You just said there were no other issues on the table.
No, I meant there were... The issue is the concept of the smallest variance necessary.
And the issue is the pitch.
That's the issue of the pitch is
right.
The...
That's the issue. That's the
because
issue.
There's going to be a move, the issue of the pitch is what's on the table.
Right.
All right, if that's the case, then we're confining this discussion to question number two. Does this meet the test?
Is it the smallest variance that is necessary that will result in substantial justice to the owner? If we grant a variance, which, you know, I like granting variances when we can figure out how to do it under the regulations, but, and that certainly would be the smallest variance. I'm granting a variance on the pitch of the roof, but I just can't see how we can do it under our regulations. And I haven't heard any argument that is going to convince me otherwise. And to grant, I'm just having trouble with granting the variance and doing substantial justice to the owner. It'd be great to grant every variance and grant that as substantial justice to the owner.
I think what we're trying to do at this point, though, is not to grant the whole variance necessarily, but to narrow down the issues that are on the table.
You can just focus on item two
here. Yeah, just focus on item two.
Well, that's the only thing we're talking about. It's right. Roof variance.
Yeah, right. So there's no lesser variance that can be requested.
Right.
So this is the least variance that...
Sure. I'll agree that if we were to grant a variance to allow the building to be moved, then it would be in the roof pitch.
Yeah. Right. That's the only Roger?
Smallest variance, I agree.
I agree. So, Lynn?
I agree.
All right, so that passes. Pat, you've got that?
Mm-hmm.
Scott, number three?
The variance can be granted in such a fashion that the spirit of the ordinance will be observed in public safety and welfare secured.
So that gives us the opportunity to grant the variance. Because we're in the spirit of the ordinance for the
It's just one of the tests.
And there's no problem with public safety or welfare.
The spirit in the letter of the zoning ordinance say the pitch is going to be such and such. And if you move a building, you got to bring the building in conformity.
Well, we're talking legality now, and I know you're talking from a lawyer's standpoint, which I respect, but there's really no reason for ZBA if we're going to go that way.
If we're going to go the legal way?
Yeah, if we're going to go per the letter of the law, then there's really no sense for us to go for the ZBA, because that's our job to look at it and see if there's a problem, like they say, with safety and welfare. So we're not needed. The letter of law says it will be done, and so we're done. But now, are we going to have some say in it, the ZBA, or is it going to book the letter of the law?
I think these questions are moot in regard to our answers to question one.
They are to some extent, but we want to clear the table of everything else.
Right.
If you go back to when the zoning was passed 15 years ago or whatever, if this issue had come up, would this question not be within the spirit of the ordinance, i.e. a federal approved property, moving it within the city, minimum cost to renovate, et cetera, et cetera? Could anyone have contemplated something that is this now become this complex? I doubt it.
I don't think there would be a question.
I think you're right.
And I mean, I'm floored that there's even a question at this point. But I mean, it's in your rules. It was before you guys are here, so I can't question you, because I still think it was put there incorrectly. I don't think the city of Boyne City had the jurisdiction to overrule a federal government home. I don't have nothing to prove that. I don't have the literature. I didn't have time, but I was told by a state official, I'm going to say state official, that the state of Michigan tried this not too many years ago. They did not make it. That's the reason manufactured homes still come in here. And they go in every state.
But you have to acknowledge the fact remains that this ordinance is here in our book.
Oh, and I understand. You guys can do it.
This is not the night to change
it. No, I know. I mean, it's just kind of...
We'll be back. No, I'm just...
All right, then, where are we?
Question.
Question number three. The hang-up is the spirit of the ordinance.
Well, I have to vote no.
Can I have you define this, what you mean by the spirit?
I think that's a question of individual interpretation. That's why I took you back to when the zoning started. Would this have come to mind? I rather doubt it.
Okay.
I think that's the spirit that I'm talking about. Your no, Lynn?
Yes.
John?
I would say that no.
John's
the
no.
The variance does not meet the letter nor the spirit of the ordinance.
Okay. Roger?
My spirit is bigger and more powerful, and I say yes.
I would say yes, so we're locked at 2-2 there. Pat, okay on that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Number four, Scott?
The need for the variance is not self-created.
As difficult as it is, the home sitting where it is, the request for the variance is because it's going to be moved, so the move must be the factor which creates this variance request, and so I'd say that the need is self-created.
Because the move is the purpose of the transaction? Is that what you're saying?
Well, also because the home hasn't been used and because it's a non-conforming roof.
Anything you'd like to add? John?
I find the need for the variance is self-created.
Roger?
No.
You say it's self-created then?
No, it's... the need for the variance is not self-created. It's you know, they're not creating any problem. I mean, the home is already built, and all we're doing is moving to a new location.
And the fact that when it's moved, it technically has to conform, does not meet the test of self-creation for you?
Not in the spirit of the ordinance.
Okay. I think we're split again, because I would vote yes on that. Let's move on to number five.
The need for the variance is due to the unique circumstances of the property itself and not due to the general conditions in the area or to circumstances related to the owner personally or to others residing on the property.
Comments?
No, I'd vote no.
Let's be sure we understand. The need for the variance is due to unique circumstances of the property and not to general conditions in the area or to circumstances related to the owner personally or others residing on the property.
That's correct. I don't know. I don't see where the owner created this. I don't see as it's the unique circumstances of the property. Property, I'm talking about real property, not the building.
Are you, when you speak of property, are you speaking of the property where the house sits now, or
yes,
where it will go on Willis Street?
Oh, I was talking about where it sits now. Maybe I want to think about where it's going to go.
Yeah, mm-hmm. This is a variance request for 515 Lewis Street.
Right.
You have to think about mm-hmm. that piece of property.
So with that in mind, is the need for the variance due to unique circumstances of that property, i.e. 515 Lewis Street?
In that case, I have to change and say yes.
All right. Could you clarify that just a little bit? What is your thinking?
My thinking is that I was thinking of the current situation where the house sits mm-hmm. now. And now that you've directed my thinking to the new piece of property, the need for the variance is due to circumstances of the property itself. Well, yes, it's going to require a roof pitch. It also is requiring a move, which, according to the zoning ordinance, says that if it's a non-conforming building is moved, then it must conform.
What circumstances of the new property are causing that?
The fact that it's being moved.
Property that are causing that?
It hasn't been used. Not the land, the home.
We're talking about the property.
No, we're talking about the home.
You have to look at 515 Lewis and that physical piece of property and new characteristics of that lot.
Now you want to talk about the land.
Yeah, that's what we have to look at.
Yeah.
That's what I said in the first place.
The fact that the building, as it sits on Wilson and has been empty for a period of time, I don't think is what we're driving at. Talking about the land on Lewis. Is that a unique set of circumstances that requires the variance or not?
That requires a different pitch.
Yes.
Is the variance?
Well, in that case, that would be no.
Okay, when you say no, then what do you
I mean that the land has nothing to do with the fact that the home is not conforming, it's being moved, and in order to be brought into conformity, it needs a new roof. So the land has nothing to do with it. So the answer is no.
Roger, John?
My answer as well.
Roger?
Your answer is what?
Same.
My answer is no as well, because the property doesn't have anything to do with
my answer is no.
The variance.
Okay, or three. Mm-hmm. One of my vote's academic. Yeah. So let's go to number, is that the last one?
Mm-hmm.
That's the last one. Where do we have two and two or three and one votes?
Question number one, it is two and two. Question number two, everybody was in agreement. Question number three, we have 2 and 2. Question number four, we have 2 and 2. Question number five, we have 3 no's, 3 negatives.
All right. I read on to the next paragraph on the facts of finding sheet, then we'll see if action is appropriate. The board shall grant no variance if it finds an application does not meet all of the above listed criteria for determining whether or not a practical difficulty and or an unnecessary hardship exists. And as I read the votes, we have at least 3 of the 5 items where there is not a favorable vote. That having been said, Pat, would you prefer to take a motion to either accept or deny so that everything is on the table?
Yes.
All right, would someone like to make that motion? You can make it in either context, mm-hmm. up or down.
Well, I'll make a motion that we grant the variance. But I can't give you the reasons.
All right.
I hesitate to make a motion to deny the variance because that may get defeated, and then where are we left?
Well, you just have to be taken at your word. You've made a motion to
approve
the variance. Is there a second to that?
A second.
Roger. Motion is to approve the variance. Pat, call the roll.
McClory?
No.
Murray?
No.
Reynolds?
Yes.
Carlisle?
Yes. So we are at 2-2, which is not a majority, so the variance request in its present form has to be denied.
Motion fails. Yes.
Motion fails. All right. Where do we go from here?
Call Pat back then.
Yeah, let's do that. Mr. Dell, I recognize some of the larger items that you were speaking to. Do you want to comment right now?
Well, I guess the only additional comment that I have is that in many cases during this discussion, just sitting here observing, we were talking about new construction, and as I read through the entirety of your zoning thing over the last 4 or 5 days, nowhere in there does it define new construction. Okay. We're talking about moving. It is not a new building to one city. This is something being newly constructed. It is just being relocated within the city. And we deviated quite a ways away from that. We keep referring to new construction. Okay, it isn't new construction. Would be my only request that you consider.
Yeah, I think that's obvious.
Okay. It's a relocation.
And heard my comments, I think, on question one, that I was trying to look at the whole issue. That's
correct.
What I was driving at.
Yeah.
However, the facts are that the board is divided on 3 of the items and cannot reach a consensus to grant the variance. It's basically not approved in its present form, I guess is the most concise way to say it. Any comments from anyone before we move on? Appreciate your remarks. I expect you'll find a way to do this.
Maybe I can pose a question. If there's a home in within the city that you know you were looking at doing this and it had varying roof lines, okay, would all of those roof lines have to be a 5-foot pitch? And that's what I'm thinking at here. If this home were situated such that it had a front porch on it that had a 5-foot pitch, which you could see from the road, even though the remaining portion that you could not see would be the 3.5 to 12 pitch, would that be something that would be within the letter of what your zoning looks at?
I guess I'd have to see the specific build you're talking about.
Well, I'm talking about this particular home. If it had a porch over the front okay? Instead of just that, you've been up and looked at it. Mm-hmm. It does have, in essence, a change in pitch, or not a change, a change in roof line there, but it really isn't a porch. It's just architecturally they do it. If that were converted to be an actual porch roof, okay, coming out, you know, 5 feet or so from the front of the house, okay, with a 5-foot pitch on it, would that be acceptable?
I don't think it would be appropriate for this board to consider that. That's more of an interpretation request, and that's something that we can talk about, okay. And then if I have questions, I can bring it to this board for their clarification. But right now, to do that without having that advertised and interpretation that'd be in front of them, I think is improper.
I agree. I don't know if it's important, but I mean, as a planner, though, I'd like to hear your opinion on that. And maybe this is
something
the right
I'm
menu.
Not going to react to.
Oh, no, no, no.
But is it something that you would listen to?
Yeah, I would definitely, yeah, anything you want to draw up and show to me, I'd be more happy to consider.
But the point is, does he need a variance to do it? Because if
I'm
we
not
going to
answer
through.
Questions okay. off the cuff okay. without okay. seeing any kind of drawings.
And the context in which it's in.
Exactly.
To close the door on this, is it true and does everyone agree that if the pitch on that roof were made to conform to, in some ways adapted to 512, that we wouldn't be having a discussion? That's that simple, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Now, I say that knowing that if that is your choice, that involves more of an investment. Yeah.
The entire roof makes it financially burdensome. It just makes it a non-workable situation.
That is the most immediate remedy.
Porch only, probably workable.
Yeah. All right, I think that closes us out. Thank you much for your time.
So does this board meet once a month, is it? Or
yes, first Tuesday.
I'm going to do a hypothetical. If I can prove that a city cannot put that in ordinance, I'm asking, if they cannot, do we have to go through the whole thing over?
Your appeal process to this body is to the circuit court, and if you believe that this is not a legitimate ordinance, that would be your process.
It's hard to do that filing fee. It's cheaper than the appeal.
Well, I just disagree. I mean, it's a federal issue. It's approved by the federal government.
But the fact remains, it still is on the books.
It's on the books, and I think it should be investigated.
And in all reality, my reason for buying it is because, or the reason why I did buy it was because with it being that close, I mean, to my home and with my job, I don't want people that close
sure.
to me. So that's,
sure.
but in the same, you know, now it's, but I understand too.
Thank you. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, John.
Pat. Thank you. The next item of business is approval of the 2013 calendar, which you had in your packet. I don't see a conflict with the 4th of July, which sometimes happens, and
January
1st.
That might be.
Yeah.
The city offices are closed that day.
I don't plan on having a meeting that day. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
on Monday, for sure.
New Year's Day.
Mm-hmm. I would.
Yes.
I would tentatively schedule another day there, just in case someone does submit an application.
What if we moved it to the 8th, the next Tuesday?
Let's move it to the 8th.
That can always be canceled then.
That would be my suggestion. And then the other one I'm guessing that September 2nd is Labor Day. Am I correct?
Yes.
So, the day after Labor Day, is that all right with everybody?
Good with me.
I think so. Right.
Okay. So, other than that, move the January meeting to the 8th, and the rest of the calendar stands as presented.
Make a motion to approve the calendar as jigger direction.
I haven't heard that word in a long time.
I'll say.
Yeah,
Latin.
All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, same sign. We don't have any boards or standing committees. Any commissioner comments?
Well, I sure was hoping that I could find a way, and I tried to dig hard. to find a way that those guys could come up with some kind of plan that would allow a variance. And it really disappoints me that I wasn't able to do that. And I got a little confused in my questions, but I had my mind, I had all my notes here, and I seemed like I was confused. It was a little embarrassing. But I had my notes. I tried to stick to my guns, and I was still looking for, there's no way that they can go to the, if they were to come, if they were to get a plan, which they don't have one, I guess, they didn't present one. If they had a plan, would they have X amount of time, like say a year, to complete that roof? The building permit is good for
before
a
you
year.
Get to a plan, you're talking about the site on Lewis, I would assume. Before you
Once
get
they
to
move
that,
it.
Before you get to that, you have to solve the issue that, based on our deliberations, that house cannot be moved to Lewis without changing the pitch of the roof.
Yeah, yeah.
That's tonight's discussion.
Well, I think
it didn't say it had, couldn't be moved. It said once it's moved, it has to be changed.
Same thing. It can't be occupied.
Yeah, I don't think we were talking about whether it had to be done before it was moved or after it was moved. If it was planned to do after it was moved, I think you would have approved it.
Oh, yeah, we were going to issue a permit. If they pulled the permit,
we're going to bring it into.
Yeah. Well, how would you possibly consider moving a house, putting a roof on a house before you move it?
I can't look at that house. I have to look at the lot and what they're going to put on it. What they're going to put on it was a house with a 312 pitch. Where it came from is irrelevant.
Right.
So
they put a they move a partially completed house.
So they could. They said, we're going to have a 512 pitch, and they could have bring that house in, tore it off of them, and could have given them a permit. So.
Sure. Yeah, I wanted to. In this situation, I'd like to make economic value for everybody, including the city and all that. But, I mean, it's just give me a reason. And to say that the federal government holds sway over Boyne City is not the right thing to say to me.
That's way beyond, way beyond the scope of what we were doing.
Way beyond the scope, but hey, you know, what did we fight a revolution for and all that kind of stuff?
Any announcements?
Just that we did hire an assistant planner, Leslie Myers. She will be starting on the 19th of December. So we're happy to have her aboard.
The name seems familiar.
She's been around for a long time. She's
name again?
Leslie Myers. Mm-hmm. She was on the Michigan Association Planning Board for a while. She's been doing this for about 18 years in a variety of communities. So.
This is a full-time job now?
It's it's replacing Janice.
Yeah. Okay. Could she come to the January meeting just to be
I think she's going to come to the December 11th City Commission meeting. To introduce herself, and if there's something on the agenda, she'll be taking a chance on and being staff support from the DBA.
I was going to say she'll be our whipping boy instead of you again.
Yep.
You know, I've been here too long. Because Scott was new at one point.
Yeah, back in 2003.
All right. Motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
Here.
Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.